This is The State of Things from the Spirit Square studio of WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Frank Stacio. Queen City, of course, buzzing this week. The Democratic National Convention is in town. The streets of uptown Charlotte are crowded with delegates, politicians, reporters, and police. Today, the final day of the Democratic National Convention. Tonight, of course, President Obama takes the stage and formally accepts his party's nomination. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt is here in Charlotte as well and joins us in our studio today. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Frank.
Good to have you here. Last night, big speech. Former President Bill Clinton wowed him, apparently, by all accounts. You were with the delegation from North Carolina. What did they say about the speech?
They were euphoric. I think everybody in the arena was. They felt it was a remarkable speech. It was 48 minutes long, which I think was about 28 minutes longer than they'd budgeted for. The energy and enthusiasm in the room stayed there. He was off the cuff a lot. And, you know, I had as the media members, we get prepared remarks right when the speech starts. And it's fascinating to sort of take that and put it up against what he's actually saying. And he stays to script a little bit and then he, you know, gets off. But his ad-libs are so fascinating to listen to. And he clearly scored a lot of points, not just with the North Carolina delegates, but everybody in the building.
Yeah, well, that's what he's good at. He can certainly give a good speech. And again, know the policies well enough to go off speech, come back and double the content, all of which sounds like it's coming right off the page.
Yeah, and what he has an amazing ability to do, and he's always had this, is to take, you know, rather sort of in the weeds kind of numbers and things like that and distill them for people who don't pay a lot of attention to policy, even people who, you know, delegates and other folks who are very political in nature. These policies are tough to get through, and he has an ability to take these policies, he loves talking about policy, and make it very accessible to people and make the choices seem very clear-cut, and I think that is his strength, and it certainly played in the building last night.
So far now, the convention, everything has gone very smoothly according to schedule and according to script, of course. What are the delegates taking away from this, and what do you expect to happen here in North Carolina now after tonight's speech and we move on from the convention and into the campaign for real?
Well, that's been the theme all week for the North Carolina delegates is because the state is a battleground state, we've seen a sort of steady stream of Obama campaign folks and national people come to both breakfasts in the morning to address the delegates and throughout the day. And it's all about taking energy and enthusiasm out of this event and applying it locally, you know, regionally and in the state. You know, President Obama and Mitt Romney are in a neck and neck race here in the state. People think it's a very important. It's interesting this morning, one of the Obama campaign advisors spoke and he said that of all the states and all the ground games that the Obama campaign has across the country, North Carolina is by far the best at going out and finding unregistered voters and registering them, about motivating, you know, their base, but also undecided voters. So that ground game, there's 61 days to the election, that ground game is the thing that they think is going to help them win. That's up against the sort of Romney's advantage in money. We're going to see a lot more ads. If you can believe, more ads are actually going to be on TV if there's any space for them. So it's going to be, you know, North Carolina's a battleground. It's a toss-up or slightly leans Romney depending on which poll you want to look at. But it's, you know, taking that energy from this event has been the constant theme this week and taking it out into the field.
And that, of course, is one of the real advantages of a political convention. You're making speeches. It's a pageant. People watch. It has attention. But, you know, you can imagine that everybody's speaking more or less to the converted, more or less. But the fact that everybody from all over the state and other states are here face-to-face, strategizing, working out the final details of what's really going to happen on the ground, that's the stuff behind the scenes that's probably is more important than anything else.
Right. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was one of the speakers this morning to the North Carolina delegates. And, you know, she was very involved in choosing Charlotte. She's a congresswoman from Florida. The Democrats really believed that they had a chance to crack the South open, so to speak, to come in, have the convention here, and expand their footprint here in the solidly Republican South. Whether that's going to happen or not remains to be seen. The decision that when it was made, unemployment wasn't quite as high as it is now in North Carolina. Some other things are working against Democrats in this state. But that was the idea, that this place would be a sort of launching point to Democrats to make a more inroads into the South. And even some of the Democratic analysts and strategists now are saying, you know, they don't know that is actually going to happen. That was their hope. But now they just want to make sure they put on a good convention. And by any stretch, I think that they felt to this point, there's still one night left, that they've put on a pretty good convention.
One night left, the grand finale. The president got in yesterday. He makes his speech tonight. What do we expect to hear?
Well, I think he's going to talk a lot about the economy. I think everybody thinks that. And tonight, he's got a lot to live up to, because the two major speeches the last two nights have been, you know, well received by Democrats, certainly, which they were going to be anyway. But I think even people who are more sort of, you know, agnostic, if you will, in their choices and aren't making a lot of they're looking at them as strictly as political speeches. What's the intention and are they doing it? And I think they're finding that these two speeches, the First Lady and Bill Clinton, have done really well. Good messages, well delivered. And the president has a lot to live up to. You know, he's got a bit of a reputation as an orator, at least, you know, from 2008. And so, you know, it's his big night tonight. It's interesting. There's going to be a little bit of a North Carolina angle earlier in the evening with Walter Dalton speaking, candidate for governor, Democrat. So it's going to be an interesting night. Certainly there's going to be even more security, if that's possible, with the president now sort of fully ensconced in town. So there's a lot of anticipation, but it's going to be interesting to see if he can live up to the last two nights.
You talked about the security, and of course there has not been much in the way of protest. I would suspect that that has something to do with the strong force, the strong showing of police here. There's really no place to demonstrate.
There isn't. I mean, you know, I think the police have been very effective at letting the protesters have their say, letting them exercise, as they say, their First Amendment rights. But then, the way that this place is laid out, the streets in uptown Charlotte are closed and blocked off, and there's just no traffic. And so protesters are pushed out a little bit further away. They've had a few parade routes. They've had some opportunities to get in front of the media. They've done a nice job. For the majority of protesters have not broken out of sort of the places that they've been asked to do their thing. So, the enthusiasm is there, but it's a small group of people. It's not a huge group of protesters.
That said, those who want to have their voice here heard are here, and they are making themselves heard in smaller venues and in other ways. And the military presence is a military state, of course. We're going to hear about that tonight in the president's speech. And military personnel are here talking about their concerns as well. And that's a presence that we felt here in Charlotte.
Well, sure. And I think, this is a military state, and the South has a strong military presence in general. And this isn't something that the Democrats are sort of willing to cede to the Republicans, a strength within the military. They're going to tout the President Obama's foreign policies. There was almost no talk of foreign policies last week at the Republican National Convention. That's obviously very much on the mind of military families. There will be several people speaking tonight who have military ties, one of them from North Carolina, or at least was based here in North Carolina. He's going to speak about the president's changing policies on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He's also going to talk about foreign policy and how that affects military families. So it's a strong element of what we'll see tonight. It'll be interesting to see how much of that gets into the president's speech.
And how much of it gets into the press? And, of course, you've been here and sort of covering practically every minute. It's one of the more difficult and strenuous parts of covering these things. You're really working day and night. Everything happens at night. You're filing all day, and you're getting up with your contacts during the day. So you haven't slept much, but you're doing a great job. What's some of the stuff
all
that
vitamin water.
You'd love? $6.50 vitamin water,
arena.
And
nice.
You had to stand in line to get it. What are some of the things that, if they hadn't been shoved out of the news budget because, there are these other big speeches, some of the more interesting and memorable moments for you, speeches perhaps, that just couldn't make their way into the news?
It's much more about conversations you have with people off the cuff. Walking to the studio here, you walk and you're sort of alone on some of these outskirts streets, and you can hear police officers talking to one another at checkpoints as you're walking up. And they're talking, sort of negatively about protesters, and they see you, and then they don't say anything, and you walk by, and then they start talking again. And you talk to business owners on people who own restaurants and things that are not uptown, they're a little bit on the outskirts, and they're seeing absolutely nobody. Their business is going to be totally nothing this week, and you feel for those folks. And so it's conversations like that. You see the impact of a convention, and it's significant in a city like this. Charlotte's a big city, but it's not a huge city. And so the DNC has taken over all of uptown, and that affects everybody in so many different ways. And those are the stories I'll remember. Not so much what happens in the arena. I know it gets covered so much. But it's the folks you meet who are affected by this, some positively and some not so positively.
What's the lasting impact on North Carolina and North Carolina politics just as a result of having the convention here in Charlotte?
I think Charlotte is really going to be the winner here. I mean, I think people will see Charlotte as a major league city. You know, we talked about it before that, you know, you got to have a professional sports team to be seen as major league. And now the next step might be getting a convention like this and doing a good job with it. And now, you know, Charlotte is seen as has always been seen as sort of secondary in the Southeast to Atlanta. That may be changing a little bit. And a lot of people have very positive feelings about the city itself coming out of this.
Dave, pleasure to talk with you. Get some sleep.
Thanks, Frank.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC's education reporter, our Raleigh bureau chief, and today and all this week here with us in Charlotte. This is the State of Things live today from Spirit Square in Charlotte. We're about down a few blocks from the Democratic National Convention. And coming up next, we're going to talk about payday lending in this very, very city that is based its economy on finance and banking. We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.